Welcome to the Root of It All podcast with Tree, where you will learn new habits for human betterment. We talk about all things related to personal growth and everything is on the table. Each episode, we'll explore different topics like self-care, mindfulness, goal setting, and more, with a focus on practical tips and actionable advice you can start implementing in your life today. Our goal is to help you become the best version of yourself and live a more meaningful life. So grab a drink, cozy up, take your dog for a walk or go for a drive. Join us for some fun and meaningful conversations with some amazing humans. Let's grow together.
Good morning. Well, it's morning here. I don't know when people are listening to this, but it's morning here right now. But good morning and welcome to another episode of the Root of It All podcast with Tree. And today I am with Brittany Gaudio. I might have butchered that. Everybody
That's
knows
all right.
And she is the owner of Well Nested Living. And we're going to get into exactly what it is that she does, because she does amazing things and she has a very strong skill of getting people more organized when it comes to stuff, really. And so my first question, and so thank you for coming.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And my first question is, how did you come up with your business name?
Ooh, that is a great question. I think like I was trying to think of words and feelings. I really rooted into the idea of like how I want people to feel in their home. Mm. And we tossed around a lot of different ideas, but the concept of nesting has always been something that was used to describe me. I'm definitely a nester, regardless of what phase of life I've been in. I need to nest. I need to curate my physical environment in order to like feel regulated and feel like I can show up as the most productive self. And so that concept of nesting has always kind of been stuck with me. And that's kind of where it came from. And being well nested means that, you know, your home and your space is working for you and you're adding the function that you need. So that's kind of where we got to.
Yeah, which actually describes quite well what you do. I've been using your services for a couple of years now and slowly doing different spaces at my own home, also here at the Burlington Hypnosis Center, also at our training center.
Right.
So like helped us with everything. And so the great thing of what it is that you do is that you can do things in any budget.
Yes.
And I think people have misperceptions that when they think about hiring somebody such as yourself, that they automatically think that there's going to be like this massive price tag, which there's not. And you are so cost effective. So I want to throw that out there as well. So one of the main things I wanted to talk about is obviously human behavior. And so teach us about some of the common themes when it comes to human behavior and why people hold on to their crap. And so normally I talk about like crap in the head, but this is actually literal, like just stuff.
Yeah, it's funny though, because often our space is a reflection of what's happening in our head. And I can often see that. We specialize and work with a lot of busy parents and busy professionals, and usually a combination of both. And I can basically tell how they're doing, how they're functioning based on their space. Because, you know, when you're overwhelmed and you're dysregulated, it's really hard to rein in your physical environment. And then it's a vicious cycle because your physical environment has such a profound impact on your ability to regulate. So it's just a bit of a tricky chicken before egg situation. Mm-hmm. In terms of the stuff, I think the biggest thing I find is that this is just not a skill set we're taught. We're not taught necessarily how to manage our inventory, we're not even taught how to manage our finances, our spending habits. This is just not a skill set. And so it's something that you kind of have to learn trial by error. And often what I find is that clients who are looking for support, they typically grew up in a home that was either super disorganized and super chaotic. And so they're just kind of replicating that in their own life, Or they grew up in a home that was very organized. Their parents did basically everything for them. They didn't learn the skills, and now they're managing a home and they don't actually know how to do it for themselves. And so those are kind of the two main. I mean, obviously there's different personas and different circumstances, but I do find those often. And I often am dealing with folks who carry a lot of like shame and guilt around their inability to, keep their home buttoned up. And that's something really important to us. Me specifically, it's like very deeply rooted in our why is just like not everyone, like I said, you're not taught it, but it's also sometimes people are inherently just not skilled in that area. They're skilled in a million other ways. And this is just something that I happen to be skilled in. And so let's just trade our, skill sets. I'll help you here and you go off and stay in your zone of genius. And let's just like remove the shame and guilt around that type of, challenges.
And that's a big thing. Lots of clients that we see, they end up in that shame and guilt cycle, right? And it's interesting because it's all about rules that they created for themselves. And I also find too that when people are feeling a certain way and they're not in control of their own feelings or they're indulging their feelings, some people actually go to actually buying something new. That it's going to be like part of it is an excitement thing. One of the things about us about humans is that we really crave adventure, and sometimes that adventure is buying something new, having a new shiny thing. And those things, like right now, it's so easy to buy something. It's insane. Like it was funny. I was watching my husband and I. We were watching this World War II movie. And you think about the people in those days, they couldn't just go down the street into this massive grocery store and buy bread that was already packaged and cut and made. Like you actually had to buy the flour and do all. So it was a lot harder, and it was hard to even buy things. So right now, it's almost like we all just have too many things, really.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes back to, right, like the shame and guilt of like let's just release all of that because we're also in kind of unprecedented circumstances, right? Like I was reading recently, I'll have to get you the title of the book, but it's something about the organized mind or the organized living. And there's a whole section on organized mind, and I obviously read that.
Of
And
course you did.
my main takeaway from that was that they're talking about kind of just like evolution and the ancestry, roots within us, and like how we our possessions are like a thousandfold what our ancestors would have had. And so we have not had time to even figure out how to manage that. We've just, consumed more and more and more. The dopamine hit is so accessible. And then we're surrounded with our own stuff and wondering why we're still not happy and why we're feeling overwhelmed and why we're picking fights with our partner. This whole concept of decluttering and organizing is so unique to this current generation because the generations before us are coming typically from nothing and they're in that building phase, and stuff meant so much more. It meant success and it meant stability. And now we're kind of shifting into realizing like this is actually not making us feel good and we need to figure out how to manage this differently.
Yeah, and it's interesting to your point. When you look at the show Mad Men, like the whole show is based on how to get people to buy things, right? Through marketing. And now with even social media, that getting people to buy things has like amplified tenfold,
100%.
which is not good because a lot of it too is if we don't get things or we don't feel or we feel like we're going to miss out. Or we feel like we need something to show that we're a certain status, right? You look at designer bags or anything. So teach me, what was the maybe the hardest client that you had?
I actually just had I okay, so there's a couple different circumstances. I would say I just had someone who was struggling in a period of grief, and terrible challenges, lots of loss in this person's life, and they handled it by shopping. right? It was a direct distraction. It's that dopamine hit. And turns out their house, like floor to ceiling, garage floor to ceiling, is just filled with things in bags with tags on.
Wow.
And aside from the fact that, you know, it's lost money, the investment is sunk, there is now like so much shame and guilt in all of that. And then once things are in our home, then we feel guilty about letting them go because it just looks like dollars, you know, leaving, and then it feels wasteful, and it's just honestly a bit of a vicious cycle. And so I think the main challenge there was dealing with kind of the regret. And this was a larger mental health conversation, but ultimately the success we had was in finding good homes for that inventory. So, you know, backing into like, what is your main challenge here in terms of letting it go? Like, what is your intention and goal for your home? How do you want it to feel? And why is it more difficult for you to let this go? And a lot of it came down to like, well, I spent the money on it. It's brand new. Like, I don't want it to land in the landfill. All very valid things, which is what I specialize in, which is like, I also don't want it to land in the landfill. Like, I also feel, you know, I'm dealing with excess every day. If I just like threw it in the dump, I'm pretty sure I'd fall into a dark hole somewhere or lightning would strike me. Like, that's not what I want either.
Let's not put that energy out there. But yeah, it's and I want to add one more thing to that too. It's like people when they're grieving and then they go on like a certain type of behavior. So for that example is that somebody went and they started like buying things
Right.
where a lot of people they could overeat, or some people they can end up in they just want to have relationships with everybody.
Right.
So it's an indulgent of excess.
Yes.
It's like a double grieving thing. So
Right.
even now that you're helping the person get rid of all of these things, it's another part of grieving too.
Right. Oh,
So
yeah, absolutely. What I do is like such an emotional process. Like, you know, in some situations, I actually request that there's a mental health professional present because I can't handle all situations and, you know, be efficient with your space. But I don't think there is. I mean, they're few and far between projects where I'm walking in and it's very clean cut. I'm just dealing with stuff. I'm so often dealing with stuff and emotions and feelings and relationship dynamics. There's a lot wrapped up in our homes and our spaces that I don't think we realize until we let in a third party and I'm rifling through your belongings.
well, and the cool thing about you, Brittany, is that you're so like settled in yourself that you're able to really take that on, which a lot of people wouldn't. And I cut you off before you finished about where it is that you've taken the time and initiative to find homes for these places that was better instead of the landfill. So
Right.
that's awesome. So what are some interesting places that people that you can let people know where if they want to get rid of their own things that they where can they send them.
Yeah, I mean, I have some connections. Like, for example, I'm like highly connected with the Burlington Midwives. So if people are getting rid of like baby stuff or new mom equipment, things like that, I'll pass it off because they're constantly working with moms who are lower resourced or in challenging situations. We have a couple of spots within Burlington that we can drop off clothing, and it's kind of like a free shop. So folks who, you know, need a fresh outfit for a job interview or they're experiencing displacement or things like that. And often a lot of folks don't want people to have to buy their items. So, you know, the Value Village and Goodwill, they have, you know, their own models. I do like them for certain situations because they do employ harder to employ folks and things like that. But, you know, folks also want to just donate directly. And so there's some resources to be able to do that. I also like to suggest in a lot of cases, like free, like marketplace or online pickups, because folks who are looking for free things online are often in need in some way. And so, you know, if you have kids' clothes or kids' toys or even like home goods, things like that, posting it for free, you know, it's going to land in someone's hands that want it and will put in the effort to come pick it up. circumstances can make that challenging. There's depending on the client, depending on, preferences and time and all of that kind of stuff, we can work around it. But the long story short is it does not need to land in the landfill unless it is damaged and broken and can't be used by someone else.
And that is true, like what you're saying about putting it on Marketplace for free. My husband and I, we were cleaning out the garage and we had like a tent and sleeping bags and all of those things. And we were just like giving things away. And it was so cool because there's these two young gentlemen from another country that just they've only been here for 2 months and they've never been camping in their life. And they didn't have any money. So it was such a good feeling to be like, oh wow, they're gonna have like this whole cool adventure that they wouldn't have been able to have had they not get the supplies that they needed. So
No, I mean, there's so many ways to make your stuff kind of continue to live on. And a lot of folks hold on to things because of that concept of like, well, I don't want it to go to waste. But the reality is, it being in a box on a shelf in the back of your storage space, like that's wasted. There are so many folks who can put it to waste or put it to use, sorry. And so I just like to get people, thinking differently about where their stuff can be, even if it feels like, that investment is gone, which is like a big kind of hook for some folks.
Well, and the thing that I find like what we attach our emotions to is like the most bizarre thing. Like, because I used to be in the fashion industry and a lot of people could probably relate, even you. And maybe it was you that I had this conversation with, I forget, but about people and they hold on to like clothing because they remember what that piece of clothing made them feel. So maybe they don't fit into it anymore, or there's a tiny little rip in it, or there's a little stain on it, but they're thinking like, oh, well, maybe I can clean it or get it fixed or whatever. But then all of a sudden it's in the closet for like 3, 5, 10 years, and it's just sitting there doing nothing. But we have these attachments to clothing, like even wedding dresses too, right? Like, why, like, are you gonna wear it again? Are you waiting to like, I remember a friend of mine, and she said, "Oh yeah, my mom saved her wedding dress for me." And could you imagine, like when you think about the eras of this things? I remember the 80s, like the big puffy sleeves.
Oh, yes.
Like it's funny what people, and even a friend of my husband's aunt, that she kept all kinds of furniture in her basement just in case her kids wanted them. And so her
No,
base.
that's a, sorry to
Sure.
interrupt you. That's a really interesting thing that I find myself talking about a lot is this concept with different generations actually of clients, because this concept of like just in case or I want to pass it off. With young families, the challenge is that parents are often holding on to things because of sentimental reasons, right? Whether it's the kids' artwork or the clothes they wore or the toys they played with. And so I'm often challenging them to think of like, okay, yes, I'm also a young parent. I understand how stuff holds meaning and sparks memory. But I want you to think about in 20 years from now, when your kid has their first house, are they going to want you to drop off 10 totes of memories that were important to you that they no longer remember? The answer is probably no. Not only will they probably have a smaller house, they won't have the storage for it, but it doesn't hold the same meaning. And so I often try to talk about like create yourself a confine of like, I'm fine with some sentimentals. Some sentimentals need to take a physical form and that is totally fine, but setting yourself a confine. So like, if you have three kids, you have one tote per kid and you can keep whatever you want for each kid as long as it fits in that tote. So you're passing off one bin to them when they are an adult, and they can make space for that. And everything that's in that bin is going to feel really meaningful and have a story attached to it. And then on the flip side, the other generation is the older folks, right? I spoke about this briefly about how they have accumulated all of this stuff, and that was a sign of status, and that was a sign of they're doing better than the generations before them, and their kids don't want their stuff. Like the furniture for the most part doesn't fit their aesthetic, and the little knickknacks and china they don't want because it's just clutter. And like, just the concept of stuff and how we fill our homes has changed. And so I do encourage older folks to make those have those conversations and do this work before their health fails and as they're downsizing or before they're downsizing. And it's got this concept, it's that you may have heard of, which is like Swedish death cleaning, which is this
No, I've never
trend.
heard of that.
Oh no, it's just basically the idea of like deal with your stuff before you die. And that's for a couple of reasons, but the one that feels most meaningful to me is this concept of our stuff carries a lot more weight when we're gone. And then you're putting the burden on your kids or your family or whoever it is that's dealing with your estate to understand what was important to you and what wasn't. So having those conversations ahead of time is really valuable. And also hearing like, Mom, I don't actually want that couch. I don't want that hutch. I don't want that china set. Versus having to do it when you're grieving and you're like, oh, but my mom would want me to. And now I'm like mixed up in this whole grief conversation. I
And
have a
feeling guilty
client.
and feeling guilty
Yes,
don't
guilty.
speak it.
Yeah, I have a client who is one of my dearest clients. She lost her husband unexpectedly. And so the first session I was working with her on was actually working through their basement and his office space. And she was a rock star through this whole process, obviously quite challenging. But there was a moment when I saw that she was keeping shoe polish. We were working through some bins and she was like, oh, I like should keep this. And I was like, of all the stuff we've gone through, shoe polish. Like, you're not going to shine your shoes. He's not going to shine his shoes anymore. What are you doing with the shoe polish? And it obviously sparked a memory and like, there was just so much wrapped up in it, but it just reminded me that, and we had this conversation because we can. And I was like, if he saw you keeping his shoe polish, like he'd probably laugh at you. Like this, like nobody needs this. But it just is a really clear example of how our stuff carries more weight when we're gone and how we can be more intentional about what we keep in our home to support our folks when we are gone.
Well, and even too that that's her memory of what stuck out to her for her husband. Or the husband might even say, like, what does that mean to you? Where her memory, there was probably a visual that she had of him, or like whenever she looked at that reminded her of him. And when it comes to human behavior, it's fascinating how we all have something different. Like even husband and wife, the things that you really either are turned on or things that make you think of your husband aren't probably the things that he thinks that you think about. By any means. And it's so, yeah, it's, and I find it fascinating because a lot of times too, the expectation is that when one person will either play a song or do something because they're doing it because that's what reminds them of that person, and then their partner has no reaction or response, and then the person's like, well, oh, well, why don't you remember this or whatever, and interesting how different things set in with different people, right? Like another example is if there's thousands of people at a concert and everyone got interviewed with the exact same questions, all the answers would be different, even though it's the exact same concert and the exact same thing happened. So when it comes to
I see those dynamics at play. Relationships, partner relationships are the one of the hardest I navigate because there's different partner personas, but
Right, because even who wants to keep what?
yes,
Yeah,
yeah. So typically there's a partner who's like, get rid of everything, I want everything gone, and another partner who's like, whoa, 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 like no. Or they are both thinking that they're gonna have a hard, easy time letting go, and then they get hung up on certain types of inventories, and then they don't agree with each other in terms of what's important. And so I say often my superpower is yes, I'm skilled in decluttering and organizing and all of that stuff, but my superpower is that I'm just unattached to the inventory and to the relationships. I'm just an unbiased party, like a couples therapist without the credentials, but I'm just entering in being like, okay, well, maybe we can take the emotion out of that picture or the emotion out of that bowl, and let's make like a rational decision about it versus an emotional one. But just being present sometimes is enough. Like I have a whole arsenal of questions and prompts and things to facilitate, but I often just have to just be there or like give a look or have a pause, and they're like, oh, right. Yes, I don't need this, and like things like that. But the relationship dynamics are really interesting. I've only had one situation where someone hired me to do a garage for their husband, and the husband wasn't happy. The garage looked amazing, but it was too big of a violation for him.
Yeah, and I think too, like I me personally, I'm the type of person that I'm organized, but it's a little bit organized chaos. Things like here and there. It's not crazy, but like I know where things are. Right. So but it is interesting because with my staff, they'll like we share all the space. So I'll put something somewhere and they don't know why it's there. So they just won't touch it. No one will touch it. And then they're making up things in their head of why it's there. And it's just, yeah, it's very comedic when you look at us as humans and humans' behaviors. One thing I always forget to mention to you, there is this song, and I think it's from like the early 70s, and it's called Take It Away. So look it up. It's
Gonna look it up.
actually like it's a husband and wife, they're breaking up, and they're basically saying like that old wedding picture on the wall, just take it away. Like just it makes me like, I mean, it is a little bit of a sad song, but it's tongue in cheek. But it reminds me of you, just like because I know that you've done so much work, like for my home office, my office here, and just like it's like that's what just take it away. Like just that line, that one line, I always just think, just take it away. Like
Oh, yeah. And I love when clients get there. Usually it's a bit of a slow start, and with any new relationships, I'm a new person in your space, we got to build rapport. But once we've got that going, there's always this like moment where my clients are like, it's clicking, or they're feeling the relief of decluttering, and they're just like, let it go, let it go, let it go. And all of a sudden those decisions become easier, or they are just like, do whatever you want, and they're like trusting me to make those decisions. It takes time, but there's always that moment, because the relief and like the physical feeling of the space transforming is such a tangible one.
Oh, it is. And what I loved is like when you did my home office, because I was so busy, I just like left you there. I'm just like hit the lock button on the door when you leave. And so like, and then I got home and I remember like you text me and you're like, so? I'm like, oh, because I didn't even go upstairs yet. And oh my gosh. I was like, it was like this nice reveal. It was awesome. And that's such a good feeling. Just so I'm so happy that people are learning more about what it is that you do. And it's such a feel-good thing. It's such a freeing thing. And I find in society right now, there's so many things that can bog us down, whether, just stuff in society or just, I think with the way that technology is too, people, whether they feel insecure to keep up with it or they're distracting themselves in all kinds of different ways. So I love that what you do, it's kind of like a refresh, a reset of, whatever room it is. Ooh, there's a good question. What is your favorite room in your house to?
Oh, honestly, like so last week I just did a kitchen and pantry, and it was just the best project. Sometimes it doesn't work where, some folks aren't willing as to get rid of as much, and then you're working with a tight space and you gotta whatever. But this, she kind of gave me free rein, and oh my goodness, I had so much fun reimagining this kitchen and pantry, because so often we're living in circumstances of like, oh, that's just how it was when you moved in, or that's just how your kitchen was when you were, living at home, and we don't question things about function and how you cook. And so by asking those questions, I was able to just like add so much more ease and function to their space, and get things off their counters, which was their goal. So I had so much fun with that, that I was like, ooh, maybe kitchens are my new favorite. But I really love kids' spaces as well. I think it's the phase of life I'm in, but they often tend to be, if people have young kids, the sorest point in the home. And there's just so many easy and accessible ways to make that more functional for the family, for the kids, make it more intuitive, all of that. So, I would say those are kind of my two favorite. But to your point earlier, I just wanted to add, like, the in terms of the reset of a space, and worrying that you can't keep it that way. I think that's the magic of like decluttering is one thing, and there's almost always decluttering in what we do. But the systems we leave behind on the organization side are meant to help you long term. Like, sure, we live in our spaces, they get chaotic sometimes, even after I'm gone, that's fine. But the intention of what we do is like to provide those confines, to provide those like visual cues of like, oh, this is as much space as I have for books. So I have one shelf or whatever. So if I'm bringing more books in, I need to get rid of one, or else this like whole aesthetic is going to be, you know, what I've been enjoying is going to be thrown off. Or I have this many office supplies and like this goes here and that goes there. And it's intended to help you long term. It's not intended to just like look pretty for an Instagram photo, which is not what I want.
Yeah, because I know when you did my office, you actually labeled my drawers, and where you put the label was on top where you couldn't see it,
Right.
which made the piece of furniture keep its like beautiful look.
Right.
But every time I open something, I'm like, yes, okay, that's where that goes. It's like a
Yeah.
reminder that anytime I pulled out a drawer, I'm like, oh, okay, it was all like labeled, and even like
Yes.
inside. So all the furniture looked just pristine and perfect, but yet you still gave me like the where this goes,
Function.
the process,
Yeah.
the process and stuff.
Yeah, I love
So,
that.
yeah, and for all human beings, I think we all need a refresh, even once a year. What's something that you can suggest to somebody, just maybe something that they can do in 1 hour in their home themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have a couple of resources. Maybe we can link them too. I think the
Yeah,
biggest impact.
whatever link you want, yeah, we'll have it in the
Yeah, amazing. I think the biggest impact if you're feeling overwhelmed in your house is like the biggest thing I like to say is like, you don't need more storage. You just need less stuff. And so start there, always start there. 1 hour, I do find like if folks have ADHD or any type of just like focus challenges, 1 hour even seems a bit much. I like to say like 15 minutes a day, and you know, tackle one small zone. And so sometimes it's, you know, just clear your counters, like just deal with the papers that are on your counters, or just put the clothes from the hamper away, or you know, just, you know, tidy up the shoes and hang up all the jackets in the entryway. There's very like small, tangible things that within a very short amount of time have a profound impact on just how our space looks and feels. But if you were to just say like, I just want to have an overall impact on my home, it's definitely decluttering. And I have a checklist that we can link that's like, here's all the different inventory types that you can have in your home. Here's all these little prompts and questions that will help you make those paring down decisions, and then just get it out of your house.
Awesome. That's so funny. I was just going to ask if you had a checklist.
Yes.
So
Yeah.
yeah, so we are going to put all of the links, and I know that you have a great newsletter as well. So I encourage people to sign up for Brittany's newsletter so that you can gain even more insight on how to help yourself, or even if you want to get Brittany for her services. She's absolutely great, flexible, so easy to work with.
Thank you.
It's been, even the first time I met you, what was it? We were at Peach Cafe, right?
Yes. Yeah. A little
Yeah,
coffee
like way
date.
back. Yeah, I think you were just, were you just starting your business, or were you already?
Yeah. I was just starting, and I'm a raging introvert. And so networking in like big settings was really intimidating for me, but one-to-one really worked. And so I was really grateful for, I kind of just like had coffee with someone and I was like, can you connect me with someone else? And just did like a bit of a, you know, coffee date series. And
That's
met some amazing, amazing local entrepreneurs and business leaders that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So, is there anything last, I don't know, comments or suggestions that you would have for people before I let you go?
I mean, thank you for the shout out. I would also say like, if this is sparking any interest for you or resonating with you, give us a follow over on social media as well, which is at well.nested.living. I'm really only active on Instagram. And that's where I try to tackle these kind of like concepts of decluttering, organizing, and just like also normalizing how our homes are over on there so that we can even just like bring that into our sphere. I think so often what we are faced with on social media are like picture perfect, Pinterest worthy homes. And then that's kind of where the shame and guilt kind of come into it. And so I like to just be a de-influencer over there on social media in that space. So I'd encourage you to come over there and get a taste for that.
Yeah, and I love all the stuff that you post. Like, I love it's you and your husband are so playful and fun. And yeah, you've done a bunch of garages and basements and kids centers and bedrooms and bathrooms and like anything at all, right? Like,
Right.
is there something you will not do?
No, I mean, there's some health and safety situations in some homes that I have a limit, which is it's pretty high, I'd say. My threshold is pretty high. The only thing I say is I don't do garages in the dead of winter. So I schedule those typically between April and, I did one in mid-November this year, which was kind of probably the edge. But aside from that, we do all spaces.
Yeah, because even you did my office space as well.
Yes.
This
Yeah.
which
Yeah.
was awesome.
Offices are fun. Adding function for a whole team is a really fun challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And I find it fascinating with what you do and when it comes to human behavior. Like, all of this conversation is going to be really interesting for people to listen to. Well, all right.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. Well, folks, that's a wrap for today's episode of The Root of It All with Tree. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. But before we go, I just wanted to remind you that you can follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram, and we will be posting motivational quotes and behind-the-scenes content that you won't want to miss. You can always sign up to come live while we're filming this, or even join us online through Zoom. We always offer open question and answer after each episode that we don't record, so it's all private, but you can get more involved. So sign up for free at businessgrowthresults.com, and we're going to cover all kinds of different topics that you're not going to want to miss. And if you're looking for that one-on-one guidance or help, be sure to book a free screening. You can do that at burlingtonhypnosis.ca or call 905-634-4777. And finally, you can catch our podcast on all major podcast platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. So be sure to subscribe and never miss an episode. Thanks for listening.